everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach.
Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am stoked. Before we start the podcast today, I want you to know that our team is going to be going out to Dallas, Texas on April 7th to check out Sean Bowles and the God Secrets Ministry and what they're doing. So I want you guys to hear about this. I hope you guys show up. It's going to be powerful. I 100% support what they're doing. I followed Sean for a while, but there's nothing better to hear it from the source himself. Sean, you there, buddy?
I'm here, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Sean, why don't you tell us where it's going to be, what time it starts, and what we're going to be learning?
Well, it's registration's at 9 a.m. It's an all-day event, so we have three sessions throughout the day. There's probably about 6 or 8 hours of teaching, depending on how we go. And there's also going to be some live podcasts being presented with Exploring the Prophetic, so we're going to go deeper in hearing God's voice. And God's Secrets is a funny title, and I believe that God's disclosing all secrets. We can all hear God's secrets. And this is an activation event, and you're borrowing from my 20-plus years of experience of going after thousands and thousands and thousands of encounters with people, everyday people from all around culture, whether it's in red light districts or it's billionaires or whatever, hearing God's voice, asking him for specific information through words of knowledge, and actually going for it. So we're going to be, all of us who are coming are going to be trying out words of knowledge after we get a biblical foundation. We're going to be doing activations throughout the day over and over. We're going to be asking God to really share his mind and just the way he thinks and processes with us, which I think is like one of God's favorite things. When we ask him, like, what's on your mind right now and how do we hear and share your thoughts because we have the mind of Christ. So it's going to be an amazing event. It's at the Gaylord Hotel in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. Now, your website says the 7th. Yes. So April 7th, Gaylord Hotel in Dallas, Texas, 9 o'clock, and we can get your tickets on your website.
Yeah, dallas.bowlsministries.com. And if you've never been to an activation event like this, come. You're going to have so much fun. There's a lot of comedy that happens as we try. We do trial and error. I miss it sometimes. Other people miss it. There's no performance. But man, when we get it, it's a beautiful experience where we all just soak in God.
Awesome. Roar Nation, I hope you come. If you show up, I'm going to throw even a little bit of a caveat. If you show up and you go to Sean's website right now, buy tickets. If you send me an email, I will meet you there and I will give you one of my books for free signed just for coming to the event to hear Sean and all the stuff they're doing. So show up. And I'm so excited about what he's doing. I want you to be there because there's nothing better than hearing God's voice for your life. So Sean, thank you so much for that. And we cannot wait to see you there.
Oh, we can't wait to be there. It's going to be awesome. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. Hey, Roar Nation, John here, and I am fired up for today's episode. And let me tell you why, because we are talking to a fellow Texan. But I got to be honest, I had to be adopted here in this great state. I am not born here, so I don't know totally what that makes me, but that's okay. I like it. And if you're not from here, you're just like me, so it don't matter, so don't get offended. But anyways, that being said, I'm super excited because I'm talking to another podcast host, soon to be book writer, and just has had phenomenal guests on his show. He is all about purpose. As I've read his bio, just kind of stepping into what he's called to do. And he's had his ups and his downs and his failures. And that being said, part of the reason the name of his podcast is called Seminary Dropout, which we'll get into more later. I just want to introduce to you guys Shane Blackshear. Shane, you fired up and ready to go, my friend?
Oh, John, I'm so excited to be here.
Come on, somebody. So, Roar Nation, Shane is from West Texas as well, over southeast of us from Amarillo, over by Big Springs. He lives in Austin. He is married to his wife, Kate, and he called Austin the Promised Land, which I think is hilarious. I've yet to be there, so we can talk about that, Shane.
And, oh, you gotta come.
And yes, I'm going to come visit you now, actually. So anyways, Roar Nation, Shane is into comic books, theology, and growing beards. And I do have to add, he has a very nice looking beard, according to this picture. So, Shane, I've said very little about you, and I want to dive into you and kind of what you're about, what you're doing, and your passion for Jesus, man.
Well, great.
All right. So tell us about you, man.
So like you said, I live here in Austin, Texas, got my wife, Kate, and two kids, and you mentioned my podcast, Seminary Dropout. That's my main passion project. I've been doing that for, gosh, I think 5 years. I always add it up and think that can't be right because that's too many, but I think it is right. I think it's 5 years. I have essentially, it's an interview format podcast, kind of like yours, John. And I get to talk with people that I just have no business talking to, that are just way smarter than me, have done amazing things in life. And it's really just an honor to be kind of someone who brings their message to other people. And so I just really absolutely love it. I love that I get to do it. And then I've got another podcast as well that's not, hasn't been around quite as long, but it's called On Ramp, and it's with me and my co-host, Carrie Fisher. She's a professor at Baylor University, and that podcast is on race through the lens of Christianity. And so we just have some really, what we think are some really important conversations there. I'm a white guy, and she's biracial. And so I have a real burden for kind of that conversation and getting that out there for the church. And yeah, man, that's me.
Well, man, you hit on I'm writing notes down. That was interesting about I didn't know you had another podcast. I'm just curious, what made you get into that? Is there something that you've seen that's in the church that's actually an issue that you feel? I mean, obviously you said it's heavy on your heart, not your words, mine, but what made you get into that? I'm just curious.
You know, John, I think probably the first kernel of how that came about was from some of the people that I was interviewing on Seminary Dropout, and people that were people of color who were also people of faith and writing about that. And I just, boy, to be able to sit at their feet, and they're just top notch people that have written amazing things. And so just through having conversations with them and reading their books, I just really feel like my eyes were opened. Before that, I didn't consider myself a racist person. And looking back, I wasn't overtly racist, but there were just some things that I didn't understand before. And so through years of talking with those people, kind of having my eyes open and just really having a burden to kind of take that message to the church as much as I could. So that's kind of what led to that. And my friend Carrie, who's my co-host, we've been friends since college. And we would get together and we kind of had parallel journeys of kind of learning about race in America. And when we would get together, we would always just kind of talk about it really organically and naturally. And it kind of, an idea popped in my head and I thought, this could be a really good podcast. And so kind of floated the idea to her, and she was immediately said, yeah, let's do that. And so it's been wonderful. We go by seasons. And so we've done two seasons of the show, about 10 episodes each season. I don't know if we'll keep going. We put out a season and then just wait to hear the response to see if there's a hunger for it out there. But what we've done so far, I'm just super proud of and really glad that we've been able to put it out there.
I want to ask you this. Do you see an issue? I'm just curious because, man, I got friends that are, you know, black, brown, white, red. I mean, and I don't even know if that's politically correct anymore. And honestly, I don't care because I'm not racial at all. I could really care less, honestly. But I'm just curious, like, from what you guys have seen, what people you've interviewed and things that you've read, is there, I know people say in America there's issues, but in the church, do you think there's an issue of race in the church?
Well, I think there's this great, I'm going to totally butcher this. There's this great quote from James Baldwin, who's was a black writer and intellectual. And he said something like, he said, I don't know if Christians are racist, but I know that every Sunday morning there's a black church and there's a white church and they rarely commingle. Boy, I just think that speaks volumes. The fact that most of our churches are still pretty segregated. There's some people who kind of study these things and look at these things, and they consider a diverse church a church where I think there's no more than 60% of one race. And so that is incredibly rare in America for a church to have less than 60% of one race in their church. And I just have to believe the kingdom's not going to look like that. I don't think we're going to get to heaven and be separated like that. So, you know, there are points to be made about, is there a race problem in the church? But to me, the proof is kind of in the pudding. We're segregated. I don't think that there are not many churches, if any, that are explicitly saying, we don't want black people in our church. We don't want Hispanic people, Asian people in our church. I don't think that that's a thing, but we're obviously missing each other somehow.
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
I agree with you on the aspect that maybe the proof's in the pudding, but I'm just curious and just something to think about. If it's not so much race, if it's not cultural. And what I mean by that, because one of my good friends, we work together. He's a black pastor in another part of town. Awesome guy. But I would say his church is probably a lot more charismatic. I go to a charismatic church-ish, I guess. I don't know anymore. But his is a lot more Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. So I just question whether or not if it's not more to do with cultural differences as much as color differences. Just a thought. And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. In Roar Nation, I'm going to throw this out there. I would love for people to send an email and plug in. I'm curious, whatever church you go to and what Shane's talking about as far as that, because I would love to hear that. Because if it is a color issue, then there is an issue. If it's not so much based off of just cultural preferences, I should say. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does. I don't know that those things are always separated, meaning there's not one white culture, but there is a white culture. And there's not one black culture, but there is culture of black folks. And I think that if we love that quote unquote culture more than we love being together and more than we love our identity in Christ, then I think that's a problem. And I think, you know, there's a stream of a charismatic movement within the black church, but there's also streams that aren't charismatic. And obviously there are streams of charismatic churches of white churches. And so, you know, why we can't do that together, I'm not completely sure.
You got my wheels turning really now. So, but we're going to jump off this bandwagon. Maybe we'll hit this one for another subject. Maybe I'll come on your show with your co-host. We could talk about that. So one last thing though, I do want to ask you on that though, is you said that over the years, as you talk to people in different things, you said your eyes were opened to things you didn't understand. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think the one thing that's hard for us as white people to understand a lot of times is that our experience isn't universal. And so when I have people come on and I see their love for Christ and I see that we are brothers and sisters, and they explain to me that, you know, they can't just go in a department store, because if they do, they're going to have a security person following them around.
Wow.
When I hear them explain the fear they have when they're pulled over by the police because of scary experiences they've had in the past, how their family members were arrested and detained for weeks because their family members, quote unquote, fit a description of some suspect. And when later on, when they found out that they were not that suspect, they were let go with no apology after, you know, being in jail for a few weeks.
That just makes you angry.
Oh, it furious.
It does. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And that is, it's just kind of life for Black people in our country. And boy, when you sit down with someone and you see the humanity in them and Christ in them, and they tell you those stories, it's pretty difficult to say, I'm sorry, that's not valid. Or you realize that my experience as a white guy in the world is not universal. That's not how everybody experiences the world. It really opens your eyes. And also when we see that the things that I think are normal, meaning, you know, going back to church, the way that I worship, the way that things work in the churches that I go to, those are often things that white culture came up with. And there's nothing wrong with them in and of themselves, but we often see the way we do things is the norm. And then the way things that the other people do things, well, that's a variation on the norm. So you think about theology and what's known as Black theology. So we often think of like, well, here's regular theology, and a variation on that is Black theology. But really,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Well, people, when you have a different walk of life, you're going to see things through a different lens. And so some things in scripture are going to jump out at you that may not jump out to other people. And so, you know, again, if we see that there's this what we think is quote unquote normal theology, the default theology. And then over here, as a variation on that, is Black theology. I think what we don't realize is that thing that we call theology, normal theology, is theology that was developed by white people most of the time. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but we can't call it the fullness of what it is to follow Christ. And we also can't say that the theology developed by the Black church is, you know, not regular or not normal or not real theology, if that makes sense. I feel often when we get in deep into these conversations, I feel ill-equipped a lot of times. And that's often why I steer people to other resources and other books, because, you know, obviously I'm not going to convince anybody if people disagree with me. I'm not going to convince anybody otherwise, especially on a 45 minute podcast.
Right.
And so what I like to do is just point to people to these really rich resources that where they can go and they can read and you know, hear these experiences for themselves.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, honestly. I mean, obviously, we went way off on a sidetrack on the podcast, but man, I just, you know, before every show, I pray, and maybe somebody needed to hear that, or it's a topic that needs to be discussed, or people even need to think about that they've never thought about. So honestly, I just thank you so much for even bringing that up.
Well, thanks for asking, man. Obviously, it's something that I feel really passionate about. So I appreciate you going there. And I think that talking about race at all, especially on your podcast, is a really brave thing to do. So I really appreciate you asking me about it.
Yeah. And the thing about race, man, I just think it's stupid that people would even judge. I mean, honestly, we are a spirit inside of a body. So the greatness of that and the problem with that is when we leave and we die, and our bodies are resurrected. I mean, there is no Black, white, Hispanic, whatever. There is no segregation in Jesus. And the best part, what I love about Jesus, he wasn't white. I mean, he was dark skinned. But that being said, I just think if we look at people according to how much money they make or don't make, if we look at people according to if they're male or female, if we look at them because they're Black, white, or Hispanic, whatever, we are missing such a dynamic and beautiful piece of God that's in that person and in that culture and in that race because we're choosing to look through a dirty lens. And when we decide to look at people through the eyes of God, we can truly see the beauty and the magnitude in every person, every color, every gender, everything. So anyways, so you can get me angry. You start talking about that stuff, man, I get frustrated just because I just think people are in general are just amazing because they're made in God's image. So.
Yeah, and I think it's not even that, and I'm not saying you were saying this, I don't think you were, but it's not that we overlook the color of their skin, it's that we in fact appreciate that God didn't accidentally make white people and Hispanic people and black people.
Oh yeah, they're individually created, yeah.
Very much on purpose, and so that's a beautiful thing and something to appreciate, yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess what I was saying was, is when people look at that as an obstacle,
right,
and not wonderfully and beautifully created, as Scripture says, they're missing a piece of God that they're never going to experience if they choose to look at that and not appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so let's dive into your podcast. I want to jump into that because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've kind of stumbled into your purpose of what you feel called to do. And I want to go into that journey as far as on your website, in your bio, you talk about you dropped out of seminary twice and you're good at it, which I thought was hilarious. And that being said, so take us down, like kind of stepping into what you feel like your purpose has been and how you came across that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think originally, from the beginning, I named my podcast Seminary Dropout. And I thought it was just kind of funny because I had literally dropped out of seminary. And also, I know my limitations. I know that I don't have the credentials of a real professional theologian or somebody, you know, who a professor in the seminary. But I know I'm fairly conversant in it. So I know it would be, in other words, it would be somewhere between something super simple and something super, super complicated. And so the idea was to have accessible conversations about deep things from the beginning. But then as it went on, I really kind of honed in on that and kind of zeroed in on what the podcast was about and what kind of niche we would fill in the world of Christian podcasts and Christian media. And so it's the latest like tagline of the podcast is because good theology should be for everyone. So just the idea is there's too many people who, you know, they go to their church on Sunday and they think that the newest Christian bestseller book is like the depth of theology. And there's nothing wrong with those books, but I really want to bring robust theologians to that crowd, to people who have never been exposed to them before, and more conversations too. That's been one of the most fulfilling thing about the podcast is people who just didn't know there was this entire world out there, and maybe they felt left out of the church because they weren't really speaking to the real world needs. And the reality is that there is a community of people out there who are amazing at what they do and are really speaking to the questions, the needs, the desires of people out there, but they're often the ones who don't have the biggest microphone, metaphorically. And so if I can help to get them out there, that's a joy. And so that's kind of what Seminary Dropout has evolved into being in the last few years.
Yeah, I love what you're doing. Yeah, you're giving a voice to the people essentially who don't have a voice, or like you said, don't have the big mic. I'm curious, have you ever had anybody or theologians, people on your show that have been really mind stretching for you? Like they just dropped some bombs that really took you out of your comfort zone, or just at least made you really think about what they had to say?
Oh yeah, I mean, an endless list. Yeah, there's, you know, most of the time it's somebody who's written a book, and so usually I've read that book beforehand, and so, you know, sometimes I go into the conversation with my mind blown from having read what they've written. And so, and that's such a delight and a privilege to be able to say, okay, now I read this, now unpack this for me, help me out with this.
Yeah. Is there one in particular that you can remember recently that was big for you?
I mean, every interview I've had, there's only been two interviews I've had with N.T. Wright, which is, he's a fairly well-known theologian, but is like just huge in the things that he's just been able to communicate, just seismic shifts in people's thinking. And so every time I talk to him, it's like that. Greg Boyd, who's a pastor and a writer, has just written some amazing stuff, some stuff on war and some stuff on just the way that God works in time and the cause of suffering and doubt. I think the first time I had him on the show, we talked about he wrote a book called The Benefit of the Doubt, which is should just be like required reading for everybody, every Christian, just kind of on the idea that doubt should not be this terrible, scary thing. And it also shouldn't be guilt inducing or make us think that we're going to lose our salvation because we experience doubt. But in fact, it's a necessary thing. And so, yeah, I think that's required reading for everyone. So yeah, I could go on and on, but yeah, those are the ones that I think of.
Okay. So as you were starting, and the reason we're talking about your podcast is obviously about purpose and stepping into that. You said you've been doing it 5 years now. At any point, you know, I think when we step into what we're called to do or something that we're passionate about, you hit roadblocks. And there's just times where you're just like, man, I just don't know if this is worth it. Or if I want to do it, even though you love it, because you don't, maybe you feel like there's no fruit in it or it's hard. Is there a story or a time that you remember where you're just like, I'm not feeling it, or you had to get, you know, inspiration from your wife or somebody to kind of push through?
Yeah, I've always been proud of seminary dropout in general. I mean, some episodes are better than others, sure, but in general, I'm really proud of it, and I think that it's doing good things in the world and putting good things in the world out there. At the very least, it's not doing any harm. But I definitely get to points where, you know, when I started this podcast, I didn't have any kids. Now I've got two kids, and you know, I want to be present with them. I want to spend time with them. You and I talked before the show, and seminary dropout's not my full-time gig, so I have another job on top of all that. And so definitely times where I've thought life would be a lot easier if I just didn't do this. And I think the thing that keeps me going is I get emails, and I'm sure I know you do as well, but I would say once a week, every other week, I'll get an email from somebody that is just says, hey, I want you to know this has made a big impact on my life, and it's meant a lot to me. And that those things are more encouraging than people know. There's a guy who just this week emailed me and said, hey, I'm coming through Austin. Could we meet up? Your podcast has meant a lot to me, and so we're going to meet up for lunch on Wednesday. And that's like those things that people would be drawn to Christ in such a way, specifically through that podcast. Those are the things that really keep me going.
That's cool that you said that. I forget about that sometimes. I feel like every time I've questioned myself, or you're just like, man, is this really matter? Is it really impacting anybody? And then you get one of those, I've gotten emails of, you know, people that have literally been suicidal and they've gotten hope and
wow.
I mean, just different things. And, you know, it's, and I, cause I'm a businessman and I think about, you know, obviously the time and the money and you put into stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when I get an email like that, I'm just like, wow, you can't even put a value on if you help somebody find purpose, or if you save their life or any of that stuff, or you change their family. Now they're a better mom or a better father or a husband. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you just like, you can't put value to that, because it's there's so much value to that, knowing, wow, you could have just impacted somebody for the rest of their life. So that's what I think when we step into purpose and what we're created to do, like what you're doing, it's people are able to find who they are because you are being the authentic of who you're supposed to be.
Yeah. 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 And that's, you know, there wasn't even 15 years ago, there wasn't a category of ministry that podcasting fit under.
Oh, no.
And so what a great time, just lucky to be around in this time where we're able to bless people from afar. And it doesn't mean that we're a pastor of a mega church or something like that, but we're just through their technology, we're able to communicate with people.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you, at what point did you feel like, as you're stepping into doing what you do, you're like, hey, this is it. Like, I'm really feeling this. It feels right. I don't know if you prayed about it, whatever, but you just kind of had that aha type in you that says, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Well, you know, part of my story is that I was a pastor for a while, for about 5 years, and really felt a release from that. And after that, my wife and I moved here to Austin, and I was just going to kind of do secular work and not, and, you know, be involved in my church, but not really have a foot in the ministry world. And I got 9 months into that and thought, this can't be it. I've got to have my foot in the ministry world somehow, whatever that means. And so there were just a lot of things about being a pastor that did not fit with me, at least being a lead pastor. It didn't fit. And so I knew that wasn't the answer. And so, you know, long story short, praying and thinking about it, I started blogging and then podcasting after that. And so I kind of just like stumbled into the thing that felt like it fit most. And so I'm grateful.
Yeah, I like that you said that. I think a lot of times people are so worried. I've counseled with people that are so worried about, quote unquote, finding their purpose, that you just got to try some stuff until you kind of decide you like it. And, yeah, and you decide you do or you don't, but you just keep on that journey of discovery. And as you find it, you just keep climbing that mountain that you like. And then all of a sudden doors just start opening up and you're like, hey, I like this. And then it just comes naturally. And the things just they just kind of open up to you.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So, okay, let's jump into the real round, which is strengths and weaknesses. So what do you feel like your biggest strength is?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I'm in a job interview here.
It's never supposed to feel like that.
No. I meant that in the most complimentary way possible. I think one of my strengths is asking good questions. You know, you probably feel this hosting an interview format podcast. This sounds like I'm bragging, but you know this. Interviewing people well is harder than it looks, I think. And if people don't believe me, just hear somebody, listen to somebody try to do it who's never done it before. It's it's very difficult. There's a reason why people listen to Terry Gross on Fresh Air and have these people, Oprah Winfrey. Like, there's a reason why she's as successful as she is, because she's very, very good at asking good questions. And it requires the thing about interviewing people well and asking good questions, it requires empathy, I think, because it requires you to get in their head, and which is an experience that's not your own, and ask yourself what it feels like to be there. And then that's the questions you ask them. And so I hope that that's one of my strengths. It's got me through, you know, 185 podcast episodes so far.
Yeah, that's a lot, man.
You've got a lot. What are you on?
I think I'm in the 80s now. I'm pretty sure we haven't hit quite 100. Now, the Are You Real brand has over 100 because we've brought on, I have like 5 or 6, I don't know how many hosts now that we have, but like my wife does one on fitness. I got one, a guy that does one on business, one on success, one on ministry, one on government. So that being said, I know we're over 100, but me personally, I think I'm in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool, man. You're like franchising your show.
Yeah, that was kind of because I'm so passionate about purpose and people finding it. And here's the thing. There's people that are going to do a better job at what I want to do, if that makes sense. And if somebody else can come on and do a better job at, say, talking about politics or talking about fitness or business or whatever, I want somebody to have the opportunity to find them and to like pull and extract wisdom out of them that maybe I don't have. And honestly, you know, there's some people that probably don't like me, that just don't like my personality. And I've had those emails or those deals, and I get it, and I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me, but they might like somebody, another host that's on our platform.
Sure.
And I'm like, hey, man, if you can gel with them and they inspire you to go kick butt in the world, then listen to them.
Yeah, that's great, man. I think that's a real sign of a good leader is someone who brings on people that are might be better than them at certain things.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's taken me, I don't know, probably 35 years to get to that place because I'm comfortable with me and I'm comfortable with people don't like me. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want people not to like me. I mean, that's just weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just realize that. And if I can bring the best out of people, inspire people around me to be great, then I feel like I've fulfilled my purpose.
Yeah, that's great.
So, okay, I want to, within your strength, sometimes there's an overextension of your strength. It can be a weakness. Do you feel like your weakness coincides with your strength or do you feel like it's something totally different?
I think, I don't know if it coincides with that specific weakness. I'm as self-critical as anybody, second guess myself as much as anybody. So, you know, confidence is not something that's always been huge for me, and I will slip into that just like anybody else. So I think if I could, you know, pinpoint the biggest weakness that jumps out, I think that would be it, just kind of a lack of confidence sometimes. Or also just kind of a pessimism sometimes, if I can be real honest. Just a pessimism about the good I'm doing in the world or the quality of the thing that I'm doing. Those are things when I really get into my head that go on in there.
So I got to ask you this. You made the comment, if I can be real honest, which I love that. I want to ask you, so why? Why do you struggle with, because I think most people do. Why do you struggle with self-confidence?
Man, you're really psychoanalyzing me here, John.
Yeah, I'm really hitting deep and I'm curious.
No, I love it. I appreciate that question. You know, it probably goes into some things in my past. It goes into some things and that maybe go back to when I was much younger. I have these friends that are just good at everything that they do. I have never been that person. Even the things that I feel like I'm good at, I've had to really, really strive to do that and to be good at those things. And so generally things don't just come very natural to me. I have to work very hard at them. And so I think I'm old enough now and I know enough now that I can recognize kind of toxic patterns and patterns in the things that I think about. But when I was younger, I didn't. And I think it's really dangerous and toxic for people to see themselves as people who aren't good at things. And I think for a while, I saw myself at that. Academically in school growing up, I did not come natural to me. I really, really struggled. And now that I'm older, it's funny. I think that I've kind of learned my own learning style and figured out, hey, I'm not a dummy. I don't learn the ways that a lot of people learn. So now that I'm adult and I'm not in school and all of my learning is self-directed and self-paced, I've learned that I'm smarter than I thought I was, and I'm able to learn a lot more than I thought I was. But going through those struggles, those things just really take a toll on self-esteem and how you see yourself and your confidence.
Okay, so I want to dig a little deeper. Is that okay?
Do it, man. I'm an open book.
Okay, so
this is free therapy for me.
Okay, awesome. So it sounds like to me that you're a hard worker and you push yourself to achieve. And obviously, you mentioned some things in your childhood. You've done, it sounds like, a little bit of inner navigating. Wrong word, but that's what I'm thinking. What are you doing about it? So you recognize that you got some bad patterns, and we all do. What are you doing personally to change those patterns, or when you recognize them, what do you do?
I think part of it is just self-correction. When I catch myself having one of those thoughts, that I catch myself, that I don't let it go. You know, the scripture says like to take every thought captive. And I think that's been huge for me. And even we kind of in our culture, we kind of, when we have self-criticism, we kind of, there's a way to like celebrate that and look at that as a good thing, but it's really not. It may look like it's humility, but really it's not. I think somebody said that humility isn't thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. And, you know, that's something I really had to take to heart. It's not an asset to be critical of myself. And it's really important to love myself because Christ's image is in me like it is in everybody else that I see. You know, I love other people because God made them and God also made me, so I should love myself. So yeah, taking those thoughts captive, when I have one of those thoughts about myself, naming it, saying that was not good, that was not right, and, you know, helping myself to not do that again.
I love that you're sharing that, and I appreciate that you're just open about that. You made a comment, you talked about loving yourself. You know, one thing that I tell people is you can't give something that you don't have.
Yeah.
So if I don't love God and I don't love myself, I can't really truly love people.
Yeah.
And I see it all the time. Like you talk, you know, if I can't lead, if I don't love myself, I can't even lead people right. I can't even lead my wife or my family right.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to be critical. And I used to be that person. And it's so easy to recognize when you see it because it's just self-sabotaging.
Yep, that's right. I've truly come to believe. I mean, you think about people that are really hard to love because they're mean or they're selfish, they're greedy. I mean, think of even people on the national stage and politicians. And I think often what we think is that person needs a good, like, talking to, you know, and that may or may not be true. But deep down, they act that way because of self-preservation, because they're not sure about themselves.
They're insecure.
They're insecure. What they really need is to know that they're valuable and that they're loved by God and that they're image bearers of Christ.
Man, we'll just cut out the whole show and just put that 1 second script and the show is over.
Go out on a high note.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to jump probably last two questions so we can start kind of wrapping things up. But I do want to ask you, what is the biggest thing right now that you feel like God's stirring inside of you that you're excited about?
Oh, man. You know, I've felt a real burden in the last year or so. This is also coupled with the talk about race that we've talked about already, to speak about, I think I'll couch it in the word of idols, but the idols that we have, those idols that are, you know, very right now, very nationalistic, very tribal, very us versus them. And if we're not careful, we will often... Christians will often kind of, I don't know, superimpose the image of Christ over our idols so that we can justify them.
Give me an example.
Well, man, you know, just our love of our idea of what our country should be, to get real honest. And a lot of times that idea is really inconsistent with the gospel and inconsistent with who Christ is. I mean, there's so many things I appreciate about our country. And I think in general, it's a really good country. But I think the danger then is that we will conflate it with the gospel and with God and Jesus. And again, I think that's because there's a lot of so many good things about it, right? Like, I don't think anybody gets confused. Nobody confuses Russia with the kingdom of God. But I think we do confuse the United States with the kingdom of God a lot and kind of just put our stamp of Christianity on it wholesale instead of looking at some things that maybe aren't Christ-like, that may be idolatrous. So yeah, that's one of those things, John, that's hard to say without spending like an hour talking about it. And so it's hard to not unpack those things. Well, but, you know, time doesn't allow that, unfortunately. But that's kind of where my mind's gone in the last year or so.
Well, exciting. Maybe we'll get another podcast out of it or your next book.
Yeah, man, I would love it. Yeah.
You just never know. Okay. Contemplating where I should go with this. Let me, for the sake of our listeners, do you have a resource and or a book that you've read recently that you would like to share with the listeners?
Boy, well, you know, like I said, on Seminary Dropout, I'm basically interviewing an author every week. So, you know, as I look around my office right now, I'm just surrounded by books. There's so many good ones. Let me think. Resources. Okay, so lately on the podcast, I've been interviewing people that are from this organization called Fresh Expressions. Are you aware of Fresh Expressions? Okay, so super cool. Essentially, I'll try to be really brief, but the Anglican Church in England was declining. And so they did a study about, you know, why they're declining or what's working, what's not working. And one of the things that they found was that there were these groups of people who were meeting and really doing church, but around their special interests. So essentially, there would be a bunch of artists who would get together in an art gallery, and they would paint, and they would talk about Jesus, and they would pray, and they were thriving. Or maybe there would be like people who worked on cars, and they would get together in a garage or things like that. And so, and they found out that these groups, while the traditional Sunday morning church was declining, these groups were thriving. And so that's what they found in that study. It's been imported into America now. And this organization that kind of, you know, helps get this message out is called Fresh Expressions, because these are fresh expressions of church. They don't look like normal traditional church, but they are, and they're a fresh expression of it. So here in America, there are churches that would meet at a dog park because they're all dog people. People who, I'm trying to think of a yoga church. There are dinner churches, a lot of dinner churches. So people, essentially, you have people over for dinner, large groups of people, they can invite people, and it's just growing and growing until they split off into another dinner church. And they are real churches. The goal is not to do these fresh expressions so that they can, quote unquote, go to real church. They're real churches on their own. And so they will eventually, they'll start taking up an offering. They'll pray. Somebody may do a little sermonette, something, talk a little bit about Jesus. And so it's incredibly fascinating. So there are tons, there are a few Fresh Expressions books out there that explain what it's about and how it's done. People can go to freshexpressionsus.com. to learn more about them. So there are several books there that people can check out. I really love what's going on there, and it's super exciting. And I think it also makes people, it makes people ask, am I willing to give up what I, the things that aren't, that I consider church, to truly do church with people? So, you know, some of us really love those things that we do on Sunday mornings at our church, and there's nothing wrong with those. But, you know, in a world that's rapidly changing, are we willing to maybe give up some of those things to reach people for Christ and really have fellowship and community with people? So that's the resource that's on my mind right now.
Okay. I gotta bring this up. This is probably, I'm going full circle.
Do it.
This is my mind thinking out loud. Okay. So going full circle back to, we were talking about churches at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious of where this is going to lead, because I see it happening. I've talked to a lot of pastors, a lot of people. So I've seen this already happening, which I think is awesome. And it excites me because it's the church outside of the walls. Correct?
Yeah.
But what I question is if we don't get back into segregating, and not so much based off of color or race, but again, of likes. So we only meet because we like yoga or fitness, or we only do it because we're car people. And then we don't get it. We got to be careful, I believe, as people, to make sure we don't get in the mentality, again, you said like that us versus them, or we're better, and make sure that we view people from the lens of creativeness of who they are and an expression of God through them within that. And it's not so much about we're better than because we just like this. It might make, or like, well, we're a dog group, we're a cat group, or what's better than right. another. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's so easy to get tribal and fall into that us versus them type of mentality if we don't look at people through the right lens. That's all I'm saying. That's just when you were saying that, though, because I'm seeing it all over, and it excites me. I mean, we're going to start doing some home group stuff, and I think it's exciting, but I think we just got to be so cautious about where that could possibly lead.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not for anything that would make us more tribal, more us versus them. But I think the caveat I would say is that most of us, we don't separate naturally in those groups. So meaning, If you're into yoga, go to yoga church. Well, probably everybody in your family, maybe your immediate family or your extended family, aren't yoga people. You know, if you're a mechanic and you work on cars, well, your spouse probably doesn't also do that thing. You know what I mean? So right. I feel like in life, we're naturally integrated with those other people, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's exciting. Just a thought. I mean, not my thoughts are worth anything. They're not paying for anything. So, but I just had to get it out there.
Come on.
I have the big mic, so I get to say it.
That's right.
Okay, Shane, you last question. As we start to wrap this up, never skip it. You're going to go back to the younger you. You're going to pick an age. What advice or motivational talk, just whatever, what are you going to tell yourself for the future that you know you're going to go through? Nothing's going to change, but you're going to give yourself some advice.
Yeah, man. If I could, I think it kind of goes back to my weaknesses. Just, I wish I could go back to myself either, I would say at least myself right out of college, if not before. And I think that the thing I would tell myself was to believe in myself more, or at least believe in Christ in me more, and to not see myself or my options in life as being limited, and to take more chances. And I mean, I think like what I'm doing now in life, there's no reason why I couldn't have been doing this 15 years ago. But the reason I didn't was because I was afraid of taking chances. I was afraid of trying things and failing. And well, I just think trying things and failing is such a good teacher, maybe the best teacher. So I think that would be my advice to myself.
Awesome. So as you were writing that down, man, I was literally praying for you as you were kind of talking. So I was half engaged. I'm just being honest because I was excited for you. But I want to share this with you, Shane, man. I can just hear your heart. I just think as a person, you just sound so authentic and just the spirit in you. I know you're a guy, but I do want to say it's just beautiful. And what I heard the Lord say for you though is, but you have more than enough to do what God has given you purposely to do. If that makes sense. So what God's called you to, God has given you more than enough to accomplish that. That you don't need to anymore look back and think you're inadequate because you're more than enough. I literally through the podcast, I've heard more than enough probably about 5 times in my head. And I know the Lord was speaking to you. And I just want to tell you that you're gracious. And the scripture that I heard for you was be strong and courageous. He told Joshua.
Well, John, I mean, that means so much for you to speak into my life about that. And I'll take prayers over listening any day. So, man, I really do appreciate you saying that and being bold enough to speak that into my life. And man, message received, buddy. Thank you.
Awesome. You are most welcome. As we wrap things up, Shane, can you tell the listeners where we can check out your podcast? If they want you to come speak in an event, anything like that, how do we connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can spell my name, you can get to my website, shaneblackshear.com. And you can eventually find me if you go to seminarydropout.com where the podcast is hosted, my main podcast. So yeah, any there. I'm real active on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook as well. On Twitter, my handle is Beard on a Bike, if anybody can remember that. So yeah, there's tons of ways to connect with me out there. So I would love to hear from people.
Awesome. Let's do it. All right, Shane, thank you so much for taking the time to jump on our show. And if you would hold on just a second. Roar Nation, thank you guys and gals so much for jumping on. Please don't forget to join our closed group community. We're going to start releasing e-courses on purpose, helping you find your purpose, what you're created to do, and hopefully nudge and push you in that direction. And also, 5 days a week now, we have shows more than just myself. We got ones on fitness, business, government, all kinds of different things, success, church. And I just encourage you to listen to those shows, find one, and reach out to the hosts, please. Send us emails. If you got questions or need anything, get on our Facebook page and post them. We reply usually within 10 minutes because there's several people on there and email. So Roar Nation, love you. Be blessed. And remember, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
We get asked all the time, why Fellowship Home Loans? What makes us different? Hey, everyone, this is Mike.
And this is Brian of Fellowship Home Loans.
Many things make us different, but what do our clients say?
We can close your loan in weeks, not months like other lenders. They love our low rates and, of course, our personalized one-on-one approach. And always, our clients get 2 months off from their mortgage payments and $1,000 back at closing.
Our motto itself, mortgage lending guided by Christian principles. Call us today at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to rureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.